War doesn't end when you leave the battlefield. The hardest fight comes after service. Identity, purpose, and tribe. Where do you stand when the uniform comes off? This is where we talk about it. No bullshit, no filters, just real stories from those who've been through it. This is the Great Guns Podcast with your host, James Scott.
G'day everybody, it's James again from the Great Guns Podcast, and on today's episode we have Tim Peekman, somebody I've known for a little while now, and I just think he's got a lot to tell. He's brilliantly successful, but I'll let him tell you all about his doings and goings on. So yeah, over to you, Tim. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Thanks, James. Thanks for having me on. Really excited for this chat. Doing very well.
So Tim, for the viewers or the listeners as well, just your background, you originally were in the RAF, and then obviously you've exited and gone on to doing quite a lot of great things. And if anyone has a look at your Instagram account, you're living the great life by the looks of it, you know, snow and having some snow. So could you tell us, just kind of dialing it back to, you obviously left school, you then enlisted. Can you just bit of history on that, where you started from?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I left school. I actually went to university and studied sports science. So I was, my first love was sport, and I just wanted to do and play all the sports under the sun. Then my challenge after that was to try and find a job that sort of matched my skill set. And I ended up joining the Royal Air Force as a physical training instructor. So that was how I sort of found myself into it. I thought that would come out. Yeah, so yeah, served as a physical training instructor first and foremost, and then sort of halfway through my career, I commissioned as a training officer, and I served 16 years total.
Okay, so yeah, that's quite a while. So then, what was your, when you decided to, right, it's coming to kind of an end, what was that whole process for you? How did you come to deciding, right, it's time to move on?
Yeah, great question. I just tried to pick the jobs when I was in the military. I sort of looked ahead at sort of my career path, and I was like, all right, I'm interested in that. I'll try and pick that job. Interested in that. I commissioned, like I said, and I became a training officer, and some of the branches in the military were merging. Some of the jobs were getting cut. And I sort of came to my first option point, which was 16 years. Loved my career in the military, got a lot out of it. But then I thought, okay, not really like looking forward to the jobs that I might get put into. It was more going down the sort of personnel route. So I just looked towards the outside world and just looked what I could do in terms of working from a laptop and getting that remote style lifestyle that I really, really wanted. I got a lot of adventure and challenge through the military, but it was always being told where and when to go. Obviously, people who serve can realize that. So I was just looking for a little bit more agency over where and when I worked. And when I joined up like 16 years prior, there wasn't this opportunity of you can build an internet business and operate from anywhere. There wasn't that, like the technology wasn't available at that time. So that's why I sort of joined up and did what I did. But like 16 years later, the opportunity was becoming more and more apparent that you could operate online, you could serve people online, you could build online businesses. So that was what I was really interested in.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the first sort of inkling of, hey, I could do something after my military career.
And what the process of doing that, kind of leaving the service? Because I know that you were kind of online before you actually left. What was the kind of the plan out there, right? And I'm kind of, what I'm trying to glean out of that is, if there's a, you know, someone that's in a similar kind of position, what was the thought process that might help them and kind of taking that step?
Yeah, to be totally honest, it was quite daunting. Obviously, having served for 16 years, and that was like my only career, really, looking at something, doing something completely different was very, very daunting. Chatted to a lot of people, had like a bit of a long-term plan, like a three-year goal of, my 16-year point is 3 years away. What are the sorts of things that I would be interested in and what I could do to sort of make that transition? Obviously, your last 2 years, you get a bit of support and funding and training towards that, but initially, I knew some people who were doing online Amazon businesses, so selling physical products on Amazon. So I was sort of leaning in towards that. And I actually started my first business whilst I was still serving. So the last couple of years I was still serving, I started an online private label business selling physical products on Amazon. So that was sort of my foot into the online entrepreneurial space.
Yeah. So you had something kind of going on. It wasn't, you stepped and then worked it out. It was a plan and you were actioning that plan.
Yeah, I got a lot of advice about, like, if you can make that transition as great as like gradual as possible, rather than just like finishing and then like the next day, okay, what can I do now? I need to make some money like overnight. That puts undue pressure on yourself and on a business. So I tried to like increase my online revenue as I was exiting the service. So the plan was to replace my salary. That was like, you know, the ultimate goal. If I could then transition smoothly into my online business. Yeah.
Do you think, was it the Air Force that afforded you that compared to, because you hear stories of other guys, well, I certainly hear stories of other people that have exited the services and particularly the army, where they felt that that wasn't the case. Do you think there's a difference between the services and one's kind of leaning, well, not leaning, but gives more support than the other?
Yeah, perhaps not a difference between the services. I don't really have experience in the other two going through resettlement, but I think it's very much reliant upon your line manager at the time, the like flexibility they can afford you. If you know you were looking at either training up in something else or going away on training courses, I think it's very personality driven from line management. I have heard the same kind of horror stories, like, you know, you're made to work up until like your last day of serving, or I've heard people even getting called up after you finish serving, hey, can you do this task for me? Actually, no, I've left the service now. Like, but it is very much of personal circumstances, having that open conversation with your line management and saying, like, this is what I'm looking to do when I'm leaving. Can I go away on this training course? Can I do this? And I think it's opening that dialogue early, because it comes to us all, right? We either die in the military or we leave the military. So I think people should be afforded that time and capacity to try and learn something new, to try and, you know, increase the success of that that transition, really.
Yeah. And the support that you got, was that not support? Yeah, you mentioned support, but you also said you asked a lot of people questions and that. Was that from within the service, or were you looking further afield?
So both, really. I was asking a lot of people within the service, but also as I was going on these courses to learn more about the Amazon world, I was speaking to more people in that world. And I also invested in like coaches and training programs myself. And yeah, it's just like learning from, like, identifying where you want to be in a few years' time and then speaking to those people in that position and say, hey, I want to try and get to where you are in the next few years. Like, what advice would you give me? So just speaking to as many people as possible and trying to get a sort of well-rounded piece of advice.
Yeah. And have you, you've been out now for quite a few years now.
Oh my God. 2018. Yeah. 6 years coming up.
Seven years. Yeah. Okay. So I did have the figure right.
Yeah, you did.
And have you found that now, kind of having had that kind of tribe around you and that stability and structure? Obviously, your dream was to have less of the structure. So I suppose for you, that transition might have been a bit easier. But did you find it difficult throughout that last 7 years?
If you want to start an online business and you want it to be easy, you got another thing coming. It's like, this is probably like one of the hardest things I've done, is to start my own business. And it's both challenging and, like, you know, very rewarding. So leaving the service, I did get all the support and everything like that. But then starting a business and actually going through it is, you just learn by doing. It's a lot like learning to pass your driving test. But then when you actually go driving, you actually learn how to drive.
Yeah.
Like running an online business, in my case, you learn so much of what is required. It's what I call like lifelong learning. You continue to learn different things. And might I add that this is my third online business. I've basically taken action on the first one. When I left the military, I found out that the Amazon advertising platform was growing faster than the Amazon marketplace. So I very quickly pivoted to growing an Amazon advertising agency for online sellers. So that did really, really well. And then probably about 3 years ago now, I actually stepped out and into my own personal brand. So I'm now doing something that is more in line with my background in training in the military. I'm teaching people how to build online businesses and package their knowledge, because I've spent a few years in like course design and training design and delivery. So it's more in tune with my background from the military and what skill sets I could draw from there.
Yeah. What advice would you give to someone who's kind of sat on the fence about making that step, stepping out of uniform, whether it be to set up another a business of their own, or just stepping out, you know, and making that next progression? What advice would you give them?
Yeah. Short of being fired or being made redundant, I'd say try and plan as much as possible and try and have a sort of gradual transition as possible. So trying to make I had to get a piece of paper from the military to sign off to say that, yeah, they're happy with me starting this side hustle online business whilst I was still serving. So then you have to get permission that it's not going to affect your day job. But throughout the last 2 years, I think it's quite supportive for you to do. But try and start something whilst you're in the safety net of still receiving a full-time salary from the military. So in those last 2 years, start something and see if you can try and earn along on the sidelines. So when you actually finish your day job, you've got the experience, you've got some funding behind you, and you can make that step. I would never try and, I hear the advice like, you know, jump and the net will appear. Like, that's great, but you know, what if it doesn't? I think if you could start something small on the sidelines, you're going to learn a lot and you're going to try and get that revenue up so you can actually make a step sideways as sort of painless as possible, really. That'd be my advice.
Yeah, which I wholeheartedly agree. Kind of, yeah, jump and the net will appear. It's like that saying, what said, build it and they will come.
Exactly, yeah, that doesn't work either.
No one will be there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I 100% agree with that. You've obviously now you've been out, like you say, for the 7 years and that, but how did you motivate yourself? Because obviously you were in a very regimented environment, being, you know, as everyone knows, you're told what to do, when to do, how to do, and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then having this kind of, I know you were looking for the freedom, but I would imagine having that freedom was very daunting at first. How did you manage to keep that kind of, if you like, the straight and narrow, keep moving forward and keep pushing your goals along the road?
Yeah, great question. When I was serving, I always thought that, you know, there's big stresses on you, like in order to sort of succeed and do well and get good reports and impress and get promoted. Those totally go away when you start your own business, whether it offline, online. There's no one over your shoulder telling you what to do and when to do it. But there's other stresses like, oh, I've got to make money. You know, like revenue's got to come in. So it sort of flips it on its head. So I guess the motivation is there. If you need to make money, you will figure things out. A good phrase, everything is figure outable, right? If you apply yourself and learn from, like, they're not mistakes, they're things that you've tried and haven't worked. Like, you learn a hell of a lot from things that don't work out the way you wanted, and then you just tweak it to try and make things work out the way you want. So the motivation is definitely different, but it is absolutely there. But I think being a service leaver, you can bring so much to the party in terms of skill set. I thought when I was leaving the military, I was like, I don't have any business acumen whatsoever. Like, my like key performance indicator is number of trained personnel, right? That was the number I was sort of trying to achieve. But I just swapped that out for revenue. Like, okay, what can I do now to either increase my online audience, increase the number of emails on my list, and then increase the number of sales? Like, this is just like, what is your goal? Have a very, very defined goal. And most businesses, it is, you know, making profit, making revenue, yeah. And then just have a look and sort of critically analyze everything you're doing in your business to see, is this either growing my online audience or my online leads, emails, or is this growing my sales? If it's not, then, you know, you've got to ask yourself why you're doing it. So being really clear on sort of focusing your goals. And in some ways that's easier because the goal should be like revenue and impact and helping people rather than what's my branch? What's the goal of my branch this year? And, you know, which direction
what am
is
I being told to be my goal?
What does leadership want from me this year? That type of thing.
Yeah. I'm curious. This might sound not cliche, but it I think you'll know where I'm coming from. A lot of people will leave the service and end up, you know, like looking at you. Well, why didn't you start a PTI business? And you know, you've got that skill set. What drove you to not go down that road? Like, I think people just assume, well, I must do that.
Yeah.
But what was it for you?
So I did, as I was sort of towards the later stages of my career, I started an MSc in strength and conditioning. I was really into sport, PT, education, a bit of rehab. And then I was studying that quite a lot, only to find that like a fully qualified strength and conditioning coach like would then be able to earn less than what I was earning in the military. So I was kind of asking myself, like, what is the biggest bang for my buck? And actually cutting to the chase and making money online in terms of the Amazon world, that sort of piqued my interest. And 16 years doing what I was doing, I was actually looking for a bit of a change and a bit of a sort of a fresh start. Looking back now, there's so many things I could have done in like the physical education space in terms of PT, rehab, that type of thing with that skill set. And there's masses of opportunity to do that. But I think I was just trying to find a business model that suited my skill set in terms of training and education. And that's sort of what's led me to what I'm doing now in terms of teaching people, putting programs together. Because the biggest challenge with any online business is getting your message out there, like getting in front of your ideal client. So that's what I'm sort of focusing in on now. And I think there's a whole new skill set that I've learned in terms of creating content, publishing it, creating landing pages, building out websites, all of these things that I have learned to do over the last 6-7 years that I find it really easy to teach. That's what I'm doing now, is helping people. My ideal client is like me 3 or 4 years ago. It's a combination of a fresh start and then wanting to sort of learn new skills and sort of focus where the biggest opportunity was and where my skill set could be best employed, really.
Yeah. So you're out in Banff at the moment, which you spend quite a bit of time out there. Really hard time for some of us. Yes, you can tell I'm very envious. I'm jealous of seeing all this.
Come out and visit.
Yeah, you know that thing you said about making money? Yeah, you know, some of us are trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I honestly, you know, so you have this great lifestyle. Look, I mean, you know, you put the work in and you've achieved what I think is a great, what looks like a great kind of work-life balance. You're out doing work, and then, you know, oh, snow's falling, right? You can get out there and you can go and enjoy something that you're very passionate about. How do you, for anyone having like leaving the services and that, what would you advice be, if I could put it that way, to keep in mind about how, if they're trying to do that, how to ensure that that part of life doesn't take over? And that, you know, obviously money is a key thing, but I know, you know, you can easily get lost in things thinking, it'll happen. What would you say to someone that's kind of having a similar pathway?
Yeah, I really think you've got to sort of identify your goals. So yes, I am out in Canada right now. I'm in Banff and I'm snowboarding as much as possible, but obviously still working on my online business. Myself and my wife, our sort of North Star is sort of lifestyle, right? I could work a lot harder. I could, if I, you know, really wanted to, produce more content than I'm doing that drives my online business, work with more people. But what does that impact have on my lifestyle? So we're out here, she's got a job out here, and I've got flexibility to work online and then have an outdoor lifestyle as much as possible. So our sort of main focus and our main goal is lifestyle. Other people might not want that, right? Other people might have revenue as their sort of main priority or their North Star, or impact. Like how many people can I impact? How many people can I help? Leaving the service. So yes, lifestyle is up there for us, but it's having the time freedom and the location freedom to sort of move around, because we both served in the military. We've both been, I think we had a bit of sacrifice where she was posted, I was posted somewhere totally different. And, you know, we had that lifestyle where we hardly saw each other. So now it's like whatever we can do together, whatever we can do traveling wise, that's our sort of main North Star, really. So get really clear on your goal, get really clear on your focus. Some people, it may not be to have the sort of time flexibility. It may just be, you know, you're a workaholic and you just want to work and build the business as quick as possible. You might even want to exit the business and sell that business. So it might be prudent for you to just, you know, nose to the grindstone and work hard. But yeah, for the last 3 years in my personal brand, I've been really critical on how many hours a day and a week and a month I want to work, and then how many hours I want to have time off, time for family, time for travel, and sort of building in those margins from the start.
So you've been very specific from the onset of that.
Very intentional, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So the intentionality, yeah, is key then. Is that, I'm assuming that's,
yeah,
what you're...
And look, it's probably not one of the things that could be afforded if it was your first business. Like, I had the good thing, bad thing, who knows, right? 3 years ago, I walked away from a really successful agency business and started my own thing. I had the luxury of building everything out from scratch after having 3 or 4 years of online, or longer actually, experience. So I'm like, okay, if I started from scratch, knowing what I know now, let's build this business how I want to build it. And I'm currently building a one-person, like, solo creator business. So it's just me. And that was one of my things that I wanted as well. Like, how long can I go just being me with no hiring of team or anything like that? So if you have that luxury and if you've got that clarity of vision that how you want to create your business is within your gift to do so, then do that. But get really clear and intentional about how you build that business, because I see a lot of burnout in the online world, especially running your own business. I saw burnout in the military as well, but like it is, I think it's so much more common when you're working for yourself and trying to generate revenue, because the sort of standard sort of default option is if you're not making revenue, just work harder. And it's not necessarily the answer, right? So you see a lot of people just burning out and still spinning their wheels and not making revenue. So I was really intentional, you know, had a bit of money from resettlement, had a bit of money from the last business, and just said, right, starting afresh, it will take me, you know, take me longer again to start something new, because it just does. That's the nature of the game. But like 3 years in now, it's like, you know, giving us what we want in terms of like the revenue, the time, and the location freedom.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And it's funny you said about just being you, a business of you, just one, and what you can achieve. I've just interviewed another chap called Adam Faulkner, who has no military history or background or anything. Just did an amazing adventure from cycling from East London to Japan. So,
wow,
he's in that position now where he's on his own, and he wants that because he's exactly what you said. He wants that time, then that freedom. You know, he says, and one day he'd like to have kids and have that freedom where he can do things and doesn't have a whole team to run in that. So yeah, we always tend to think that you need to go and build something big and take on staff, and you know, it's got to be this kind of almost like a machine. And I think with technology, those days are gone.
I totally believe that. Like, the opportunities now, you can get a, you know, really, really good quality of life just by building a one-person business. And that's my message. That's what I'm all about. Because the amount of people that I speak to are starting this kind of thing. Oh, solo creators, right? Solo entrepreneurs. So I'm all about helping that individual like get off the ground and build something big. Like, everyone says, oh, you need to make $1 million and you need to build a big team. That's all great. But like, how much do you need to spend on advertising? How much do you need to spend on salaries? Like, how much time do you need for like management meetings? I've had like zero team meetings in this business, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
My wife would probably say otherwise when we go on a dog walk and I bend her ear for like 90 minutes, but she might call that a team meeting.
Yeah, but good that you've got that support as well. I know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm in the same boat with my wife as well. Well, I mean, as you know, we bounce things off each other. And sometimes it's a case of, could you just shut up now? Like, you tell me, because I'll be like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's good to have that support.
Absolutely. And if you can have someone like that, it may not be your partner, it may be someone else who's like kind of a business mentor. But yeah, I would always try and caveat that. Are you open to receiving what I'm about to say, rather than just like, but otherwise they might not be in the right frame of mind to actually give you the response that you're looking for.
Yeah, no, exactly. So what's down the line for you? So you've built this. Is there another project, another idea that's coming up, or are you just enjoying it whilst you're enjoying it and seeing, you know, where it goes?
Yeah, very good question. So no, I've tried to build a bulletproof online business, because I've been through online business with COVID, and I've seen a lot of sort of turmoil in that. So I tried to, like, when I hit the reset button 3 years ago now, I tried to build a pandemic-proof online business, right? A bulletproof online business, a business with the least moving parts, I guess. And I'm very much in the content creation camp in terms of, like, creating content to get discovered online, because that's the biggest challenge. You can either pay with paid ads, advertising, which costs money, or like content, which takes a bit of time. I'm very much in the latter. So I've just focused on building a YouTube channel. That's how people discover me. And obviously my content gets discovered in YouTube and Google, because they're owned by the same company. And then just focusing on a platform called Kajabi that delivers digital products for people in terms of like coaching, courses, memberships, that type of thing. So that's the sort of delivered digital products and services. So all I'm doing now is I'm focusing on one or the other. So I'm putting more content out there or delivering more products and services. That's all I'm doing, if you boil it all down. So I'm not really looking for bigger projects in the future. I'm all about trying to obviously grow my revenue, but grow my time freedom as well. So what can I record? What can I automate? What can I leverage in terms of technology? I still do like one-to-one coaching and one-to-group coaching. And my time is like this. This is the sort of stuff that I can do, hopefully record, and it will help like multiple people. So leveraging technology is big for me. But no, just trying to increase the quality of life and help more people do the same, whether it be through my recorded videos or whether it be through some sort of product, service, or blog, or, you know, interview like this as much as possible. So no real sort of big projects for the future. I'm growing a personal brand, so no one's going to be like offering me money for this brand. I don't have an exit.
And there's not a big buyout planned. In the end.
I've got to find another Tim Peekman who looks like me and say, oh yeah, I'll buy that from you. But there is no exit plan for this business. Yeah. It's very much a lifestyle business for me, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
If it was not a personal brand, and if it was like a private label or some other brand that you were building, it's not, you are not the face of the brand, you could look at an exit. But that's why we're focusing really on lifestyle improvement. Yeah, and just sort of building that business, naturally falling out of what we're doing. So that's affording me the time to work in this country for a few months and then back home in the UK after that.
Yeah. And would you do it all again? It's the big question.
Very big question.
You know, I mean, you have your ups and your downs and, but, you know, trying to start anything. And sometimes you kind of do look at it and you think, what the hell? Why? Like, why am I doing this? Well, why did I do that? Would you do it all again?
Yeah, in short, absolutely. But to elaborate on that, people ask me the same about my military career. Like, would you do it all again? Like, I am the person who I am today because of my 16 years service. I'm the person I am today because of my last 10 plus years in business. And like, I'm at where I'm at in business because I've had those successes, those failures, the experience of putting things together, I think makes you who you are. So I absolutely wouldn't change any of it. There are some ups and downs, like in any walk of life. In online business, it can be a bit of a roller coaster. Yeah, as long as you keep learning and keep applying yourself, you will get there. Because, like I say, this is my third online business, so it doesn't have to be the first business that, you know, is going to be a home run. You might have to pivot, and it might smart at the time that you're pivoting, but for the long run, if it's pivoting for something that has a bit more longevity in it for you, in terms of like mental health and revenue generated and everything like that. I absolutely wouldn't change what I've done and how I've done it. And yeah, hopefully the impact I'm having and the people I'm helping is sort of representative of that.
Yeah. It's interesting you say, like, it's your third business and you learn. And I think far too often we get caught up with shit, I failed. I'm a failure. Well, no, you've just learned one way of not doing it effectively. Yeah. But learning, it's as long as you pick up the learnings from there.
Yeah. And that's big in the military. It's like, you cannot fail at this. So, you know, it's that sort of risk appetite of, okay, I've got to do this perfectly or I'm not going to do it at all. I think that is a big shift when you're building an online business. I think failure, like, it's the stigma of like twist or changing like the response to failure. It is, like you say, it's a learning outcome. And so you either get the result that you wanted or you get the lesson that you actually needed. And that is
such a powerful way. Making sure that you can and spending the time on evaluating it instead of just going, oh, it was just this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same. This is the whole podcast and everything here is relatively new to me as well. And, you know, I know I'm not great at it. I'm learning, you know.
But you're getting better. Each time you do a video, you'll get better. I think a lot of people.
I hope so.
No, you will. Absolutely. A lot of people like the idea of having an online business and having the freedom and location freedom and everything. But there are certain skills that will be brand new to you that you're going to have to learn. And you need to be prepared to learn them. And a lot of people find it really uncomfortable when they start something new and they're not that good at it. So you've got to be open to start a new learning curve in these new skills that, like, speaking into a camera. I taught in a classroom. Now I speak into my camera, like, you know, every week. And I teach people on Google, on the World Wide Web, who could be, you know, anywhere in the world who are just like listening to my trainings. It's just a different mindset shift and just a different skill, like recording video, editing video. And, you know, if you can get good at video, then people are going to understand what you're all about.
Yeah, I've never thought I'd be kind of online like this. And people go, oh, no, we'll have a Zoom meeting. I couldn't think of anything worse. I am a people person. I need to stand up and talk or like be on stage and kind of interrupt. And because, yeah, I mean, I do instructing with adults and youngsters as well, and I'm comfortable with that. But doing this was very like I think I was saying to you earlier on, there was an episode that I recorded probably about a year and a half ago with a guest. At the end of it, I said, I'm really sorry, but you've proper made me nervous. I don't know what it was. They just made me so nervous. And I'm listening to it today, and I'm thinking, can I put that out? Because I you can hear.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, giggling halfway through it. So we do learn. You've just got to be going, well, okay. So I didn't quite get it right. But what do they say? 80% of something is better than 100% of nothing. You know, start, do something, refine it, move on, keep moving forward.
Yeah. Don't fall into the perfectionism trap or getting paralysis by analysis. It's just doing something, putting it out there. Like my first few videos on YouTube. Yeah, I cringe, but yeah, they're out there and they're for people to
well,
discover.
It's good to hear that you say that so that I don't have to feel so bad and anybody else that moves into that as well, because didn't you won some, you got a little award or something I saw, and I'm trying to think, was it a YouTube award for viewers or something?
So the YouTube partner program. Yeah. So when you have over, I think, I can't forget how much watch time it is now, but so over your first 1,000 subscribers and it's something like 4,000 hours of watch time in the last 12 months or something like that, you get invited to the YouTube partner program, which basically means you can add revenue and you get a bit more support, you get a bit more functions, but
showing how successful that you actually, you know, that you have got that success and, you know.
Yeah. So it's moving in the right way. It's moving in the right way. YouTube is a long game. Definitely. I would say you're not going to win overnight with YouTube.
No.
You know, post or videos going viral is more akin to social networks like, you know, TikTok or Instagram. YouTube video is more of a long game, but it's 100% worthwhile if you're going down the content creation route, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. So thinking of like Ed and all that you've done, one nugget of advice. I don't know why I use the word nugget, but anybody kind of that was in your position that's moved, you know, right, they're coming to, whether it be they've just had enough, or whether it's, you know, coming to, like you saying, 16-year mark or so, taking that step, what would be your kind of, listen, you know, dad figure going, listen, my son,
yeah,
what would that be to
there
them?
There are so, if it's an online business that you want, there are so many ways of making money online these days. I mean, I think this day and age, there's never been like as much opportunity in terms of the technology that's open to us and the opportunities still available, like saturated marketplaces and everything. Things are growing. I just think the opportunity is huge. Like whether it is like selling physical products, you're doing affiliate marketing, you're selling courses, coaching, memberships, anything like that. If I really do think that like doing a bit of studying around the business model that you want to employ, if it is a business, online business you're looking for, if you're going down the content creation route, or if you're going down like the paid ads, building funnels route, it's getting really clear on that. And then spending time learning about that business model and sort of putting it together with intent. This is why I say, like, if you can afford a bit of a longer transition time in terms of not just quitting your job and then starting a business tomorrow and hoping that it would generate revenue, because that's very much not always the case. But it's learning something new. Absolutely it is. But it's identifying what business model and how you want to show up to sort of build that business. And some of the sort of reasons why I've gone down this route is I just looked at like the busiest platform on the planet is Google, right? The second busiest is YouTube, and Alphabet owns them both. So I decided to create evergreen content that hopefully shows up this year, next year, years to come, that will be discovered on YouTube and Google. So that's what I focus on. I don't focus on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or anything like that. I sometimes repurpose across those platforms, but having a clear focus of what is your deliverable and like how often you want to do that. I just do one YouTube video a week, whereas I'm not on socials every single day posting, and that's not really the lifestyle that I wanted. And having that coming from the lifestyle as well, trying to put that first and foremost, that will identify like how many hours a day you want to work, how many days a week do you want to work, do you want to take Fridays off, do you want to, you know, it's not like a regular 9-to-5. Don't look at it as another 9-to-5. Don't come from an employee business and be an employee of your own business. Like you can design and build your business however you want, as long as it's impactful, as long as it helps people. And lastly is like try and identify your clear like avatar, like your clear ideal client. Who are these people that you can help with your skill set or a skill set that you're learning? Who are these people you can help, and how do you get in front of them? So that's what I've done with Google and YouTube, and then delivering my products digitally wherever possible, really.
What was the pitfall like that you would or obstacle that you think people might run into but could quite easily be avoidable?
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier, like build it and they will come. I have a lot of people reach out to me, hey, I've got this great website now and I've got these offers and I've got these sales pages, but like, can you help me sell it? Like that's probably the biggest pitfall, is getting so focused in on like how you can help people, but then actually not realizing where these people are, or even if it's actually what they want. So I hate this term market research, right? I think the product market fit needs to fit. And the way I do that is, if you simply type into Google, like some of your main keywords, or YouTube, some of your main keywords, they will try and auto complete your sentence. And it's not doing that for fun. These are actually people who are searching for help from someone with your skill set. So if you do a bit of research, you can do that in Facebook groups. You can do that on like Instagram pages. Just search your main keywords. Try and get clear on what it is you help. If I was still in physical training, like people for back pain or something like that, I would do lots of searches around what people are actually asking for, and then deliver to that as best you can.
Brilliant. I like that. Well, Tim, thanks very much. I really appreciate that. And I think there's a lot of good business advice for anyone, well, not just leaving the services, but just anybody, but particularly anyone thinking of leaving or is going through that transition. I think you've got some really, really sound advice there. How can people reach out to you?
So if they are a member of Heropreneurs, I am a mentor on that platform. So people can reach out through Heropreneurs. It's an opportunity for people who are leaving the service. Or you could just, I've got a full entire workshop on my business model. So if people are interested to learn about how I've built my business, they can head to timpeatman.com/workshop. That's a full actionable workshop that I put together. And you can also reach out to me at timpeatman.com. It's just myname.com. They can message me through that platform as well. And if they want to watch any of my videos, my handle on YouTube is simply at Tim Peatman.
Tim Peatman. Brilliant. Well, Tim, thanks very much. And wish you all the best and enjoy the skiing whilst you can. And I hope it all goes well.
Thanks for having me on, James. It was fun. And hopefully see you in 3D very soon.
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, James. Bye.
That's a wrap, folks. And a big thank you to our guest. Remember, keep moving forward. The fight's not over until you decide it is. Till next time, stay bold, stay fearless. Live life like it's too short for half measures. This is the Great Guns Podcast, signing off. And remember to subscribe to join our tribe.